With summer closing in, I am so ready to ditch my cold weather clothes and say hello to shorts and tees. But I don't want to just buy what's trendy. I want to update timeless, high-quality summer pieces that I can utilize for all seasons and years to come without spending a fortune. And now I've got a lineup of beautiful clothes from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30. I'm talking about, babe.
There's washable silk tops, 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. It's actually because they partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. I actually just ordered their linen shorts, tops, and pants that I plan to wear for this summer because they're lightweight, and I'm so excited to get them and start planning my Quince capsule wardrobe for my summer travels. Honestly, I have so much Quince clothing, and I love it all.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. .com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/husband.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
If you are watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe and also turn on notifications so you can be notified every single time we upload a video. And if you are listening on podcasts, hi, hello, thank you. If you can leave a review, that would be awesome. If not, just engaging. We're so happy to have you here. Garrett, do you have your 10 seconds ready?
I do. I have a couple of things today.
Ooh.
Yes, my first one would be sorry to those on YouTube. I am wearing sweats right now, so I apologize.
Nobody cares.
I'm just making sure. Number two is a lot of things on our house are breaking.
Very true.
I know I always talk about our house, and I'm sure a lot of you are annoyed. The grass, the barbecue.
But we literally had to sleep in the basement last night, and it was really scary because the air broke.
The air is broken. I think we finally just figured it out right before this episode, but it has not been fun.
And I woke up every 5 minutes thinking I was going
to
die.
My next 10 seconds, so this is turning into a 45 to a minute today, but my next one is I think I'm getting pretty good at pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton's improving too.
Thank you.
You are.
For the pity.
You're welcome. No, you're doing good.
Garrett almost broke his ankle trying to save a ball one time for me.
Oh, yes. I fell. And that hurt.
Really hard.
Yeah, I felt really hard.
But we are getting better. We practice. We try to practice every day, so.
Yep. Anyways, I just wanted to talk about myself for a second. So there you guys go. And, oh, before we hop right into it, I'm talking again. Yes.
Garrett wants to take over the podcast today.
I do not. But we have a special announcement coming probably next week. It's not like super crazy, but we think it's cool.
Yeah.
It has to do with our podcast.
We will announce that next week, and we were really excited.
Correction. It has to do with Peyton's podcast.
Oh, it's our podcast.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. So I know we talked about this last week, but we are doing an update episode this week. We've had a couple cases. We're going to cover 3 cases that have updates, but there are more. So we will do this again in the future when we round up a couple more. So we are going to do updates on episode 15 and 16, which is the JJ and Ty Lee episodes, the Lori and Chad Daybell. We have case sources from East Idaho News, an article written by Eric Grossworth, which was amazing. And that's listed in our episode notes, as well as USA Today and then Deseret.com and also News Talk 107.9 with Neil and Julie. And if you are not aware, that is my mom. Julie Mason is my mom. And she was on the original episode, which is why I used her as a case source for this one, because she's awesome. So I'm going to do a quick summary timeline. So Chad and Tammy Daybell were married on March 9th, 1990 in Manti, Utah, according to her obituary. The couple lived in Springville, Utah, where they founded a book company and they had 5 children. In 2006, marriage records show that Lori married her husband, Charles Vallow. Lori entered the marriage with her son, Colby, and Tylee, if you guys remember, who was the daughter with the third husband, Joseph Ryan. And then family members say in 2014, Charles and Lori adopted Joshua J.J. Vallow, which J.J. and Tylee were the original missing children. He's the biological grandson of Kay Woodcock, which is Charles' sister, which is why they adopted him. Social media posts indicate that sometime in 2014, the Vallos moved to the island of Kauai in Hawaii, and we went over that. Mm-hmm. The couple operated a small business there, and then the family moved back to the mainland between 2016 and 2017. While the Vallo family lived in Arizona, Tylee's father, Joseph Ryan, which was her previous husband, died on April 3rd, 2018, according to a heart attack. Almost 1 year before the public announcement of the missing kids, Chad and Lori made their first appearance together on the Preparing a People's podcast, Time to Warrior Up. So remember, Lori got involved with Chad in the prepper thing, and then they went on this podcast together. So this was a year before the cases kind of went public, is when they started getting involved.
Okay.
A felony indictment indicates that on October 26th, 2018, Lori Daybell and Chad Daybell began discussing their religious beliefs to justify killing his wife, Tammy Daybell, JJ, and Tylee Ryan.
So they admitted to it, or?
This is when police think they began discussing it. So I'm doing updates through the timeline as we now know. So we now know that police have said this is when they think they started discussing this based on conversations they were having with friends and family about it.
Okay.
Remember saying they were zombies, stuff like that.
Yep.
So 2 months after the podcast began, Charles files for divorce from Lori in February. So remember, she was married when she first met Chad. And then Charles was like, hey, she's going crazy. She joined a cult and files for divorce 2 months after she started this podcast with Chad. He claimed that she viewed herself as God preparing for the second coming. Charles claims that his wife would kill him if he got in her way to perform her mission. So Charles was feeling like, hey, this is bad. I think she's going to kill me. Before he died, her ex-husband felt that way. On July 11th, Lori's brother, Alex Cox, shoots and kills Charles Vallo, her ex-husband. This is after she's met Chad. Alex says that the shooting was in self-defense, obviously, but we know that the body cam footage has come out now since that shooting, and we were able to see how Lori reacted, see how Alex reacted in that whole entire thing.
Okay.
By the end of August 2019, Lori, Tylee, JJ, Alex, and Melanie, who is Lori's niece, who also divorced her husband to join the cult, moved to Rexburg, Idaho. So all of them pick up after Alex kills Charles, her ex-husband, and after she's met Chad, and they move to Rexburg. On September 8th, Tylee, JJ, Lori, and Alex visit Yellowstone National Park. Officials say this is the last time anyone saw Tylee.
September 8th of 2019.
Yes, and we remember this because we were just speculating last time that this is where she was murdered or killed or went missing. Police have now come out and said that they too, like, clarify that this is where they think this all happened.
Okay.
The FBI later asks help from anyone who has photos of the family taken that day. Remember, everyone was kind of like buzzing about Yellowstone. Chad Daybell signs an application with Tammy Daybell, his wife, on September 8th to increase Tammy's life insurance to the maximum amount that's allowed.
I remember
on the
this.
Policy. On September 9th, phone records place Alex on Chad Daybell's property in the general area where investigators would eventually find Tylee's body.
Okay.
So within about 3 days, they go to Yellowstone. This is the last time Tylee's seen by anyone. Chad decides to up his wife's life insurance policy. And then Alex, which is Lori's brother who killed her last husband, is on Chad's property in Rexburg where Tylee's body was found. That same day, Chad allegedly texts Tammy, his then living wife, saying that he just shot a raccoon and buried it in the yard. We now know that something else was buried in his yard, and it wasn't a raccoon. It was children, or at least Tylee that day. Lori Daybell enrolls JJ in school in Rexburg, Idaho on September 3rd. Less than 3 weeks later, JJ attends class for the last time as his mother unenrolls him, saying he would be homeschooled. Keep in mind, Tylee was never enrolled in school in Idaho, and at this point, Tylee hasn't been seen. On October 1st, Lori rents a 10x10 storage unit in Rexburg, and all three of the suspects, Alex, Chad, and Lori, visit the unit multiple times. And keep in mind, when this unit was discovered, they found all of Tylee and JJ's belongings in this unit. On October 2nd, Brandon, who is Lori's niece's ex-husband, so the one she divorced and joined the cult and moved to Idaho for, Brandon says that he was shot at where the bullet barely misses his head in Arizona. And he was shot at by a Jeep that was registered to Charles Vallow, which is Lori's dead ex-husband.
And we think that, what's his name driving it? Or they weren't sure?
Well, that's what they all assume.
Okay.
Because Tylee had been driving it, but Tylee's now missing, if we remember. And
how do you live life like this? I forgot how crazy this case is. Like, how do you live?
It's insane.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's insane. Like, Brandon, it's Lori's niece's ex-husband.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that he's probably salty that she had divorced him and joined this cult. And he was probably talking enough that you decided you needed to kill him. Like, they just began eliminating everyone that didn't align with what they were doing.
Yep.
Days later, on October 9th, Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife, who's still alive at this point, even though Lori's ex-husband has been shot by Alex. Tammy Daybell calls 911 and says that a masked man shot at her in her driveway with a paintball gun. She posts about the experience on Facebook, saying she has no idea who this person was or why they would even shoot at her. And court documents later indicate, and this was something we didn't know at the time, that Alex Koch attempted to shoot and kill Tammy that day, and his car was, like, seen in the area.
Wait, but I thought she said a paintball gun.
So she said it was a paintball gun.
But it was
Everyone else assumes it was an actual gun and he was trying to kill her. Just like he did days earlier with Brandon in Arizona.
Okay.
So 10 days later, Chad Daybell calls 911 saying that he woke up that morning and Tammy had died in her sleep in their Salem home.
Yeah, I remember this.
Detectives visit the home and they rule the death as natural. Tammy is buried at the Evergreen Cemetery in Springville on October 22nd. The family holds a memorial service in Rexburg the following day. Keep in mind, all of these families have ties between Idaho and Utah. So we're bouncing back and forth, as well as Arizona, as well as Hawaii. The family holds the memorial service the following day, and it's alleged that Alex Koch was seen sitting in a parking lot in his car 2 miles from Tammy's house the night that she died.
Alex is literally a hitman.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a hitman.
Anytime there's a mess, he's there.
Yeah.
I actually had someone from Chad Daybell's family reach out to me. We have discussed that we will keep them anonymous. But they reached out to me and they told me that at the time of this happening, when Tammy died, there was suspicion about Chad and his new friend, Lori. Not that they had killed her or anything, but just that maybe there was something weird going on. He was spending a lot of time with Lori and the whole family felt it was weird. And at the funeral, they felt that Chad acted weird, that he wasn't very sad. So before all this even came out, before the kids came out as missing, before all of that, Chad's own family felt weird about Chad and Lori and the whole Tammy thing, not thinking anything bad had happened to Tammy, not thinking it was murder, but just that the situation was really weird. And family has come out since and just stated that they're really happy for the closure, but they also just feel sad. They feel really sad because Tammy was murdered. Okay, so a friend of Tylee told the Post Register that she received a text from Tylee's number on October 25th. Remember, Tylee's been missing. And the text just read, "Hi, miss you guys too, love ya." And as we know now, someone was texting on Tylee's phone after she went missing to try to keep appearances up that she was still alive and well.
I remember this.
Yes. So within weeks of Tammy's death, Chad and Lori are married in Hawaii on November 5th.
Yep. And this is all 2019 still, correct?
Yes. Okay. Because Tammy died in October. Chad and Lori are married in November, early November, November 5th. And Tammy died late October. So this is quick. This is fast. This is planned, as we now know. They then return to Rexburg. Over the coming weeks, police say Chad told witnesses that Lori had no children. So they were living and saying, oh, no, Lori doesn't have any children. Police also say that Lori had told people that Tylee had died years earlier. Because remember, Tylee's no longer around at this point. And she's saying, oh, I had a daughter that passed away years earlier. This is what they're telling people as a newly married couple in Rexburg. On November 26th, the Rexburg Police Department conducts a welfare check for JJ at the request of his grandparents, Larry and Kay. Remember, they call, they say something's up. We haven't heard from Tylee. We haven't heard from JJ. Please go check on him. The next morning, November 27th, the Rexburg police serve a search warrant. When police arrive, they quickly discover that Daybell's had left. So they go the night before to do the welfare check. They're like, oh, he's with his grandparents. They go back. They're like, no, the grandparents are the people who said to do the welfare check.
Yeah.
They go back with a search warrant because they're like, obviously something's up. Daybells are gone. Chad and Lori are gone in the wind. On December 6th, Melanie Gibb, Lori's friend, contacts the Rexburg police to say that Chad and Lori had called her on November 26th, which was the day that the police came in for the welfare check, and asked her that if the police call her to lie about the location of JJ. And her friend's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
What the heck?
Where's JJ? This has all come out since. Okay, this is all stuff we know now. As deputies investigate, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office determined that Tammy Daybell's death is suspicious. So at this point, with the kids missing, everyone's kind of like, well, what really happened to Tammy? Tammy's body is exhumed on December 11th, and they perform an autopsy in Utah. And the results of the autopsy are not released at that point, and they still haven't been released. On December 12th, Alex Cox dies under mysterious circumstances in Gilbert, Arizona. Keep in mind, Chad and Lori are still in the wind. Nobody knows where they are. Nobody knows where Tylee is. And nobody knows where JJ is. This has all hit the press. Everyone's talking about these kids who have been missing for months and nobody knew about it. That the parents have just run off. Where are these kids? And then all of a sudden, the hitman Alex dies of mysterious circumstances in his home in Arizona. His autopsy later reveals that he died of a blood clot.
Caused from something or just a blood clot?
Just a blood clot. Like, how does this hitman all of a sudden die? That we knew had a hand in everything, all of a sudden
dies. Of course, he just dies.
Yes. Oh. On December 20th, the Rexburg Police Department announces JJ and Tylee are officially missing. Police say their disappearances is, possibly linked to the suspicious death of Tammy Daybell. And the following day, police call Chad and Lori persons of interest. So this was the first time that police came out, and we were all living this, like, firsthand. The police came out and were like, hey, these parents have done something wrong. We feel like all of this is suspicious, and they are person of interest. So we are now in 2020,
okay,
the year of COVID. Body camera footage is released detailing the moments after Alex Cox is believed to have shot and killed Charles. So this is when the body cam footage comes out. And we see in the body cam footage that Alex and Lori's story contradict one another.
Oh, really?
That Alex says what happened and Lori says what happened, and they're different.
Completely different stories.
Tylee is in the footage and she's very calm, relaxed, like her stepdad just got shot and she's very calm. And JJ, remember, Lori left after Alex, her brother, had just shot and killed her current husband, or it was like her ex-husband, they were divorced. Lori just left and took JJ to school, remember?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she left. Alex calls the cops. The cops show up. Alex is the only one home.
Okay.
And then Lori shows up and she's like, oh, yeah, they got in a fight and he killed him. And then I had to take JJ to school.
Okay.
And she's super nonchalant. She's laughing. And she even says, oh, my gosh, I just moved here and all my neighbors are going to think I'm crazy because of all these cops. Yeah, your ex-husband just got killed in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You have bigger problems than worried about what the neighbors are going to think. So we all thought this was weird when this footage was released. On January 25th, the Kauai Police Department served Lori with a notice stating, because they found them in Hawaii, remember? Lori and Chad are found in Hawaii. The police department serves Lori with a notice saying, hey, you must produce your kids. And on January 30th, Lori misses the 5 p.m. deadline to produce her kids. On February 20th, police in Kauai arrest Lori on a $5 million warrant. She is charged with two felony counts of deserting her kids and non-support of dependent children. She is also charged with arrests and seizures, resisting or obstructing officers, criminal solicitation to commit a crime, and contempt of court, willful disobedience of court process or order.
So
they get her basically everything they can now.
Yeah.
On February 26th, Lori waives her extradition to Idaho after 6 days behind bars in Hawaii. The waiver comes after multiple attempts to reduce bail. Idaho authorities extradite Lori from Hawaii to Rexburg on March 5th. And we're almost catching up to when we did our first episodes.
Yep.
Lori tries to reduce her bail multiple times right here because COVID has hit. And so meetings are being pushed back. Everything's kind of canceled. We're in like a dead area. And so she just keeps trying to push everything back. The medical examiner releases the autopsy of Alex Cox on May 8th. And they say that Alex did actually die of natural causes. They do, because they re-examined.
Wow, what are the chances of that?
What are the chances?
That's insane.
So around 7 a.m. on June 9th, the Rexburg Police Department, the FBI, and Fremont County Sheriff's Office serve a search warrant at Chad Daybell's home in Rexburg. Within hours, investigators uncover unidentified human remains and bring in a backhoe to dig deeper into the yard. Days later, officials confirm the remains are of those JJ and Tylee. So her two missing kids were found dead in Chad Daybell's property on Rexburg. And I remember this was after we had done our episodes, and me and you talked about it, and we were like, Rexburg is so much land. He could have buried them anywhere.
Yeah, I can't believe they found the kids. I remember I was thinking, holy crap.
This is real.
Like, that's insane.
Like, this is insane. And I just, what an idiot.
All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy, and even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about, I don't feel like I have all this trauma, you don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order. And that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
All right, you guys, Audible is your one-stop app for all things audio entertainment, from bestsellers and the latest releases to celebrity memoirs and gripping mysteries. Audible's library is brimming with countless genres to love and new discoveries to make. Dive into an unparalleled selection of audiobooks and explore exclusive Audible originals brought to life by top celebrities, renowned experts, and fresh voices.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Plus, you can enjoy unlimited access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts such as Murder with My Husband.
Honestly, I love Audible because I will get into a story while I'm cleaning or driving. Sometimes I get so hooked listening to a story, I just end up finding new places to clean or just end up sitting in my car, which drives Garrett nuts, but I'm out there sitting there.
New members can explore Audible free for 30 days. Also, this March through May, the Audible sweep you into a realm of intrigue and suspense with their mystery and thriller collection, featuring exclusive new thrillers from their best-selling authors. Their selection is designed to captivate and surprise, ensuring your heart rate remains as elevated as your imagination.
New members can try Audible for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. That's audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I've had this question. I think about it all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody, because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall, where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich, exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's TryArmra.com/husband.
So around 11:30 on June 9th, Chad is taken into custody and he's booked into the Fremont County Jail on 2 felony charges of concealment, distribution, or alteration of evidence.
So he wasn't charged for the murder of the kids?
Neither of them are at this point because there's no physical evidence
that ties them to actually killing them.
Because the only physical evidence they have is Alex, really. Chad makes his first court appearance on June 10th via Zoom, and they set bail for $1 million for him. On June 29th, prosecutors filed charges against Lori, including 2 felony counts of conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence. So basically the same charges they just did to Chad, still no murder. And everyone was in uproar about this, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
On July 15th, she pleads not guilty. Lori does to misdemeanor resisting or obstructing officers. So she just pleads not guilty to all of the stuff. On August 3rd and 4th, the preliminary hearing for Chad Daboll is held. Friends and investigators testify, but that's kind of all that happens there. Lori waives her preliminary hearing. So she's just pushing things back. Chad appears at his court arraignment on August 21st. He pleads not guilty. On August 27th, Chad's attorney asks the court to dismiss the entire case. So they are just pushing everything back. On September 10th, Lori is arraigned in district court where she pleads not guilty once again. And on November 5th, East Idaho News obtains audio of Lori telling someone that she was going to murder her third husband, Joe Ryan, while she was speaking at a meeting in October of 2018. Keep in mind, Joe Ryan died of a heart attack. And before he died, she's on audio saying that she was going to murder
him. Why would she want to murder him? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
I think she just likes to kill all of her lovers.
What?
Like, I think she's a black widow. I mean, basically all of her lovers are either missing or dead. Mm-hmm. Besides Chad, but he's in jail for killing her children. So on March 22nd, we're now in 2021. So we had a huge break in the case due to COVID. Like, not much happened for roughly a year. And everyone was like, can you give us an update? We didn't have anything. There was nothing going on. So we are now in 2021 in March. So just a couple months ago, March 22nd, Madison County Prosecutor Rob Wood adds veteran homicide attorney Rachel Smith to his team. So they're just growing the prosecution team. On May 24th, a grand jury indicted Chad and Lori Daboll on several new felony charges. This was just barely May 24th, including first degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. So we now have them actually being charged for the murder of the children, which is big. This is a big deal. Prosecutors announced the charges during the May 25th news conference. This is when I had a bunch of you guys messaging me saying, oh my gosh, like they're actually getting charged. We weren't sure. We weren't sure that they would. Lori and Chad Daboll are now both charged with 3 counts of conspiracy to commit first degree murder tied to JJ, Tylee, and Tammy Daboll's deaths, and 2 counts of first degree murder tied to JJ and Tylee's deaths. Only Chad Daboll was charged with first degree murder tied to Tammy Daboll's death. So they didn't charge Lori with first degree murder on Tammy Daboll, just Chad.
Okay.
And this was actually a really big deal to me that Tammy was named because her autopsy we knew was finished. We didn't know what they had found. We still don't know what they found. Well, they found enough to charge him with murder.
I assume they're going to wait the trial to come out with a lot of this.
Yes, we will not hear why they have enough or what happened in her autopsy for them to be able to charge him. But I think this was a big deal in this case. Both were also charged with conspiracy to grand theft by deception in connection with JJ and Tylee's death. Alex Cox was also implicated in the charges of conspiracy to commit murder, even though he's dead. So they still named him.
I didn't know that was possible.
Yes. And then Lori Daboll was charged with grand theft for allegedly collecting Social Security survivor benefits for the children after their death.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like illegal if you killed them. And Chad Daboll was charged with 2 counts of insurance fraud after he collected the benefits from Tammy's life insurance, because you can't just go up your life insurance and then kill your wife. It's not the way it works. The life insurance company is going to be like, oh, you can't do that. So the family is feeling good about the pursuit for all of the victims. And according to ABC4.com, a psychological assessment conducted by a licensed clinical psychologist determined that at this time, Lori Vallow is not competent to proceed.
Wait, what do you mean?
So Garrett doesn't know any of this. He hasn't been on. So this is and I know all of you know this, but he doesn't.
What do you mean? What does that even mean? Does that mean like she's not there enough to?
They are saying she's too crazy to go to trial.
That's That's bullcrap.
Yes. So a lot of people feel like you as well. So while the prosecution has obviously objected to these findings, they're like, no way. She's definitely competent enough to go to trial. According to East Idaho News, a hearing on this finding will be scheduled in the future. They will all go. The judge will say, okay, the prosecution might have their own person conduct a psychological exam, or the judge might go, nope, this psychological exam was enough and we're not going to trial.
What? Can he deny it too? Can he say, I don't care? Like, she's going to trial?
No. He would have to have the prosecution have a...
So...
Because it's her right. Like, you can't... You cannot legally... If someone
is,
by definition, insane...
Sorry, I'm getting heated.
I know, I know. And a lot of people were too, which is why I'm discussing this.
So, yeah. What if you fake it? Then what happens?
So, the people who conduct the psychological exams are prepared for people to come in and fake it because they feel like sometimes people would rather go to a mental hospital than prison. Mm-hmm. And so, they're... ready, like they know the signs of people who are faking it. So I don't know how this came out. She's a master manipulator.
Yeah, she's obviously amazing. I mean, but what she's been doing, it's been
she's manipulated a lot of people.
So she's obviously good at
that. I don't want to not question. I mean, I don't want to question the person who gave her the exam. It's their job. And I also don't want to discredit mental health because there are people who are diagnosably insane. It just feels hard to believe from a person who doesn't know anything, who's just been watching this case.
Yeah.
It's hard.
When they say she's not competent, that she's crazy or however you want to put it, does that mean she's crazy in like her beliefs? Because like, or does that mean she's crazy like mentally? Like what exactly does that mean? You're right. Because she might have some crazy... like the zombie thing and everything.
Yes, but I get what you're saying. Do I think Lori is a little crazy considering that she murdered her own children, thinks people are zombies?
Yes.
I don't think anyone in their right mind believes that. But does that mean that she doesn't understand that what she's doing is wrong? Because that's what they're saying.
Okay, got it.
They're saying that she is incompetent in the fact that she doesn't understand. If they were to go to trial, she will not comprehend what's going on at trial. She will not comprehend that she's being put on trial for something that she did that was wrong and that it will outcome in her going to prison.
So I assume that she's saying I had to do it because of everything that was happening.
So I'm assuming she said, no, they were actually zombies.
Oh.
Or something. I don't like... They're saying, okay, so a person is deemed to be incompetent when they are no longer able to display the ability to make decisions that are in their best interests.
Got it.
Okay, if you're like me, you probably care about eating healthy. I feel like we've all tried a million different ways to do that, but
McDonald's. Nah, just kidding.
But honestly, it became a no-brainer when I got my first Hungry Root delivery, and I have to tell you, I ordered Hungry Root.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, they reached out wanting to be a sponsor of the show. And I was like, good to go because I already went on and ordered Hungry Root.
We seriously loved it. Before we were even sponsored and Peyton ordered it just because she wanted to try it, it was so cool. Like it came in this box. There's all these different foods and they're healthy. They're good for you. There's snacks, stuff to make dinner recipes. It was amazing. The very first night we got it, we made our dinner and we both loved it.
Well, and it's really easy. You actually just take a short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations. So honestly, I can just go and pick a recipe, boom, puts all of it in my cart. It's crazy.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
So right now, Hungry Root is offering Murder With My Husband listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/husband to get 40% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/husband. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
All right, we're jumping into an ad real quick. This is Shopify. I personally love Shopify. I've been using it for 8 years now since I've met Peyton. I've been using it for so long. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
Whether you're selling sleuthing supplies or marketing mystery merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/husband, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/husband now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/husband, shopify.com/husband. Okay, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I have definitely learned as I've gotten older that fast fashion is just not it. High quality, versatile items that will last a lifetime are the only way to go. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I have their silk skirt. It's washable. It's literally one of my favorites, and I wear it all the time. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/husband. While you cannot have someone declared incompetent because they make decisions you do not agree with, a person can be declared incompetent if they appear to be living in their own reality.
Okay.
So she might go to trial and say, but they were zombies and I had to kill them. She's going to get prosecuted because she admitted to it. And that's what I think they're saying is she will go there and she lives in this own form of reality that she doesn't understand that what she did was actually wrong. I think that's what they're saying.
Okay. Yeah, I have so many questions, so it's just
insane.
Because then what happens? Like, you know what I'm saying?
So what would happen is she would just be sent to a mental facility where she would be, and I have—
For life?
Yes.
Oh.
And it would be the same sentence as she would serve in prison.
Okay.
And I had someone write in about this because they said, I know everyone's upset that she was deemed incompetent, but keep in mind, she said, I did personal research and going to a mental facility is not always the best option.
Yeah.
You're drugged up. You have no freedom. Like you just stay inside all day. So there, it's not like it's some glorious thing compared to prison either.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get confused with that.
I guess it makes me feel a little better that she would serve the same sentence there as she would in prison.
Yes.
I thought she would go to the mental hospital for like 10 years and get out.
You.
I was like, what?
You
in
still
the world?
Have to like, you're still a danger to society, right?
Okay.
They say instead of her knowing what she's done wrong, she needs help. She needs help. My mom talked to a criminal attorney named Alan. He answered some questions that you're having. So they said, is it surprising that both of them were charged with first degree murder? He says, no, he's sure that evidence will come out at trial that proves that there, or at least he hopes so, or else this trial is going to be bad.
Got it.
They will have to prove that the deaths happened within statute of limitations, which there is no statute of limitations for murder, so that's not going to be a problem. And they will also have to prove that it happened in the jurisdiction that they are tried in, which could become a problem.
Because it might have been in Yosemite, correct?
It might have been in Yellowstone.
Oh, sorry, Yellowstone.
It might have been in Arizona. It might have been in Hawaii. It might have been in... There are so many states involved in this that we could get to trial and her team could be like, well, what if it happened in Arizona and this doesn't even count? So we're worried. Hopefully police have enough to say this is when it happened.
Okay.
If Lori is charged in Arizona for her ex-husband's death, because we now know that Arizona police have come out and said that they are now reopening the investigation into her ex-husband's death, saying that it wasn't just self-defense, that it was something they had planned it. She will have to go through all the steps of being declared competent again in Arizona, and it could come out the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Alan also says that Lori might be deemed incompetent now, but that might not mean much if they deem that she was competent at the time of the murders. So they say, well, she might have gone crazy now, but if they can prove that she was competent at the time that she knew what she was doing was wrong and didn't actually believe, that they could still try her.
Interesting.
So there's a whole bunch of layers to being deemed incompetent. So don't get like caught up in it. He said there's going to be a lot more procedure that goes into this.
There's still so much to this.
Yes. Okay. Originally, Lori and Chad were being tried together, but it looks like they will now be tried separately. This is another update. They think that they're going to take them. They won't sit together in the courtroom. They will have separate trials. That's if Lori goes to trial. Lori and Chad, as married people, cannot be compelled to testify against each other. So they won't have to go up on stand against each other. And also a question everyone's having is, should they change the venue because of all the attention going on and bring the same judge with them to like a different place in Idaho, not Rexburg? Or, you know, they'll still do it in Rexburg, but truck in people from Boise because they have to still be in Idaho. Like a jury of your peers has to be in the same state.
Okay.
Yeah. They might do Coeur d'Alene. They might do a different place and truck them in to try to have a more fair trial. But this would be on Lori and Chad's team to try to prove that this trial would be unfair to bring in people from Rexburg.
It's kind of crazy, though, because everybody knows about this, I feel like.
How do you not?
So I would be a good juror.
Yes, because you know
I know absolutely nothing about any of these murders that you tell me. So they could bring me in and be like, you didn't see it on the news? I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. So my mom asked Alan, she said, if you were defending Chad or Lori, would you try to get the trial moved? And he said, hands down, I would get the trial moved. If you ask anyone there, they don't want to see them get out free. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like people in Rexburg, this is close to them. So he said he would try, but it's a really hard thing to do. Also, should the jury be sequestered? Meaning that they stay in the hotel, they can't watch or hear anything going on in the media. They just go to court, go back to their hotel, read the books that are in the hotel. They can't talk to anybody. You know, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I'm assuming that the reporting is going to be huge on this. It's going to be on CNN. It's going to be on Fox News. It's going to be like every single person is going to be covering this trial if it's live. And so it could be dangerous, but that's also hard to do. It's also really hard to get the jury sequestered. So we'll see. Prosecutors actually reserved the right to seek the death penalty, and they will probably use this as leverage to seek a plea deal. So they'll say, we won't give you the death penalty if you plead to this and this and this and this.
I didn't know that Idaho had the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And capital murder, yes. And they will also might say, okay, we will do it life in prison without the possibility of parole. And we will take off the insurance fraud charge on you, Chad, if you will do this or this or this or this for us. Lori's defender is currently doing this pro bono.
Whoa.
Yes, because she was deemed indigent, which means she can't make choices for her. So they would usually give her a public defender. But her private defender came forward and said, nope, I'm still going to do it for her, but she's not allowed to pay him. So he's doing it pro bono. Alan says this is most likely for a couple reasons. Number one, it's a high profile case, so it's good for his career to cover her if he gets her off. And number two, he could write a book about it and make money off of it because it's a high profile
case. He's going to get so much attention off
this. So he said there's multiple reasons why her defender will stay there, even though he's no longer getting paid. He said it's also like he could try to like get the state of Idaho to pay him. But it's like a low chance that would happen. Alan is almost sure that this will go to trial. We obviously aren't aware of the evidence, but he also says that the trial will at least be 1 to 3 months, he's suspecting.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm. He says it's a heavy, I mean, think of all the parts, think of all the testimony.
Yeah.
They're going to have to bring in so many people to testify at this trial. So he's like, I feel like it's going to be a long and heavy trial, which will also be, how do you sequester a jury for 3 months?
There's no way.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. So that is our finished update on JJ and Tylee case.
Wow, that's insane.
I'm very interested.
I didn't know probably 99% of what, the updates, what you just told me.
Yeah. There's quite a few. Also, I don't know if we talked about this, but Alex's phone actually has pings on Chad's property where the kids were killed. So we also know for sure that he was there with Chad a few days after Tylee went missing.
That's crazy. See, I am I'm surprised that they charged Chad and Lori with the murder because I kind of think it's Alex. I guess we'll find out.
Well, they were involved. It's just what evidence did they finally uncover?
For first degree.
I'm curious to see. I mean, it's been a year. They've had a year to get this together. So I also...
They obviously know something that...
I think we're going to have a couple bombs dropped at trial, considering that they're both charged with first degree murder, unless the state was just like, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean, do I think they deserve to be charged? Yes. I mean, it's obvious that they knew what was going on. All of this was planned. This is what all of these updates have gone to show us, is that this was a completely planned thing that happened. And I'm really excited to watch trial, you know, live. And also, Garrett, I have a fun update for you. My mom said that she could possibly get us tickets to go watch some of the trial days.
Whoa.
So we can go into the trial and then come back and report to you guys and say what the atmosphere was like, what's going on.
Did you hear my excitement? Whoa.
To me, that's a really cool thing. I know a lot of journalists do that. I'm not claiming to be a journalist, but I have been pretty involved in this case, so I am just excited to see it
play
out.
That would be
pretty
cool, I'm not going to lie.
And we can just keep you guys updated on what that's like. And this case is insane.
That is so crazy. Yeah, I'm actually curious to see what happens next.
Yeah, I am excited for a trial date to see if Lori will actually go to trial and to see what's going on going forward. So we will keep you guys updated. Please subscribe, listen, share our podcast. We love your guys' engagement. We read your comments. We try to get to every single message. There is just a lot of them coming in now, so have patience with us. Thank you guys so much for supporting us and loving us. We love you guys so much, and we will see you guys next week for another episode. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.